Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Robbed she was, and insult to injury when a Swedish commentator said that she was Dua Lipa but on an Irish budget. We're going to be taking a closer look at that one a little bit later on in the programme, as well as what some are calling the Scouse trap, what everybody else is referring to as Wag of the Christie, the Vardy versus Rooney trial. And we will also get to Ukraine a little bit later on in the programme. But I want to talk right now to Philip Ryan, political editor of the Irish Independent, joining me with some of the details on this proposed €400 payment for people who host Ukrainian refugees, among a few other stories of the day we're going to talk to you about. But Philip, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
The €400, what's the difficulty with administering or distributing this money?
Look, there's a bit of work to be done on this. You know, when any of these new schemes and any of this new funding that are given to the public or to people generally, a lot of it has to be, number one, underpinned by some sort of legislative basis. So they have to draft up a bill of some description to allow for this to happen, because you're giving away taxpayer money, obviously. And as well as that, they need to put in place various measures to ensure people don't take advantage of the scheme. While many people out there are good and everything they're doing, especially in this situation with the refugee crisis, is very charitable, very altruistic, they don't want the scheme to be taken advantage of. So they don't want people who are, let's say, charging maybe refugees or some rent or some sort of form of asking for some form of money for the various household budget costs. They don't want that person, those type of families, to be able to also claim this €400. So they'll put in various different safeguards to ensure that that won't happen. I think top of the list will be making sure that whoever is looking for this money, they'll have to have a tax clearance cert. So if you're providing that and you can show that you're a landlord of some description, maybe that wouldn't allow you to take the money. And look, there'll be various little loopholes and that'll have to be looked through to make sure that this is watertight and that the payment works as it is meant to be, as a recognition for people doing some good.
But Philip, we are 3 months into this now, and there are people who have been here for quite some time already. Mm. Is there going to be retrospective application of the €400, do you know?
That's certainly been looked at, of course, because a lot of people were there from day one and taking people into their homes and making properties available to them. So you would expect that will be rewarded, because, like I said, this is the point of the money, that it's to recognise that people are doing a good thing here and taking people into their home when they didn't have to, and helping with this huge influx of refugees from the war.
€400 is obviously essential, but it's really the icing on top of the cake when the cake is the housing issue. Now, what have they done there on increasing the flow?
The main thing they've done from the Department of Housing side of things is they've identified this 500 houses, state-owned vacant buildings that the local authorities have earmarked as potential places to house refugees. So far to date, around 89 of them are being occupied at present, whether that be on an individual basis or more of a kind of communal basis. There's a further 50 that are going to need some work. But all of the buildings are being looked at. They're not all necessarily being needed at present. That could change if more refugees come here. There's been the steady stream at the start is kind of has lessened a little bit, and there's not as many people coming. But there will still be a need over the coming weeks and months to provide accommodation. And this group of these buildings, these vacant buildings, are being examined and will be looked at.
Let's switch horses for a second here, talk about the National Maternity Hospital. They're moving to clarify this contentious phrase, clinically appropriate. How are they going to do that? What difference is it going to make?
Well, as far as I understand, the government are very much open to listening to these ideas that are being put forward from the backbenches, from the public at large as well, in the various committees, within government too. As we speak now, I think that they're still, that the government are pretty sure that what they have written down, what the contracts say, is as watertight as they can be. But like I say, they are open to listening to ideas, and some may emerge over the coming days. A lot will depend, I think, on this weekend's protests as well. The numbers that show up with that, if there is a significant a significant public outcry, if a significant number show up in the streets of Dublin to protest against this, that might focus the minds of the government more and push them into making more and more decisions on this.
So are you saying then that political calculations are being made right now on how much more capital the government should be spending on this issue, and that might be determined by the size of the protest?
Exactly, because as we speak, I think the government believes still that what they have signed, what they've agreed with the various institutions is and will be protect the nature of what can happen in this maternity hospital, that it will not result in any procedures or any type of medical practices being stopped or being banned or anything like that. But if the public still shows this level of mistrust that is out there about the relationship between the church and the state, then maybe some sort of compromise will have to be found.
Speaking of mistrust, the Taoiseach wrote to Prime Minister Boris Johnson after a phone call. Where is their relationship at now?
Yeah, I think frosty is probably the best way of describing it. It's professional as well, clearly, but there's this frustration within the Irish government, within the EU at large, and I think that the Taoiseach put that across in his phone call this week, put it across in this letter that he sent to Boris Johnson, that he feels that the Tory party in particular, and some of the unionist parties up the north as well, are being disingenuous around the negotiations on the protocol and the post-Brexit trade agreements in suggesting that the EU aren't being lenient, the EU aren't being flexible, because it's very much the case from an Irish context and an EU context that they are putting forward proposals, putting forward certain concessions that can be introduced to make the protocol a little bit more easy, a bit more seamless for trade. And it is still being portrayed from the British side of things as being the EU won't move on anything. And that has borne out by this frustration in the phone call this week and the letter as well.
Philip Ryan, political editor of the Irish Independent, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Coming up next, Putin is humiliated on the battlefields of Donbass.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.